Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
What's up, everybody? This is Daryl M. Taliaferro, and I'm excited about this podcast, Necessary Conversations. It is episode one, and I'm excited because on today's episode, we're dealing with mental health. You know, mental health is an issue that transcends racial or socioeconomic lines. It's a disease that so many people around the world are dealing with, but very few people know how to bring language to it. On today's podcast, I'm so very thankful to have an amazing guest. Her name is Keisha Dennis. She is the founder and CEO of The Elephant in the Room. She's an amazing young lady, and I promise you, after you hear her story, you're going to want to follow her. You want to go support. I promise you, this podcast, this episode today, will change your life. Keisha, what's happening?
Hey.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you're on today.
I'm excited.
So we're talking about mental health, right? And so much is going on in the world. We got this pandemic. Everybody's affected by it. Tell me a little bit about what you're feeling about it and how people are, you know, around you are affected by this pandemic.
You know, Daryl, during this pandemic, I think people weren't necessarily, there was no way to prepare for this. It just kind of all hit us out of nowhere, and people weren't financially prepared. They weren't emotionally prepared, and some of them weren't even physically prepared because, of course, it affects some of our most vulnerable populations. So from a mental health standpoint, I think that this pandemic has caused a peak in therapeutic sessions, a peak in people trying to find themselves and trying to adopt more healthier mental health and self-care tips.
Right.
And I think that people just have had a lot of time to be to themselves and have an idle mind. So people are starting to really focus on their mental health during this time.
Wow. You're absolutely right. You know, when you have time to think. Now, you know, that can work for you, and sometimes that can work against you. It just depends on the perspective. You know, when you look at the news and you look at all that's going on around us with the racial injustice and inequality, when you consider the situation with George Floyd and how the police officer pressed his knee on his neck for close to 9 minutes, subsequently killing him. Or even when you think about the situation with Breonna Taylor and how she was killed in her own home as a result of a no-knock warrant, people are outraged. People are tired. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the truth is, Keisha, people got time today. So many people are asking questions. Why are African Americans so upset now? And I tell them all the time, it's not that we're upset now. It's just that now we got time to show it.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people, sometimes it's the stereotype. It's like, you know what? Mental health means that you're crazy. If you go talk to a therapist, something has to be wrong. But there are different ways, like preventative care. Just because you go see a therapist does not mean something's wrong with you. A lot of times we hold things in for so long and so long, which is speaks to your point about how people have time now. And during the Black Lives Matter movement, people were outraged. And that's mainly because there's a lot of built up frustration. And although it was a necessary movement, but it was heightened, of course, because people were dealing with things mentally. They were frustrated. They were inside. They needed an outlet. And so it was kind of like a soda can. You know, you shake it, shake it, shake it, and then pop.
Wow. You're absolutely right.
I just think that being that we're living in the times that we are during the pandemic, I think it's actually a little bit more helpful for mental health because prior, I know a lot of people talked about mental health and categorized it as being crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm just going to pray about it, or I'm not going to go see anybody and tell anybody all my business. However, during these times, you're running out of options.
Absolutely.
Right? So you're looking for every fix because you know that, for instance, if we have our knee hurting, our leg hurting, we go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. But if we're mentally not okay, we don't want to go see anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the stigma. It just has to stop.
I agree. You make a very good point. You know, a lot of times, especially in the church, you know, a lot of times people say, I got Jesus and that's enough. You know, well, Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. But God mm-hmm. left with us in the earth people that can help us walk through some traumatic times. When right. if you were walking down the street and somebody hits you, you're not going to lay in the street and say, oh, no, I got Jesus and that's enough. No, right. you go call 911 and you want them to take you to the hospital. Right. So the same thing is true. As you mentioned earlier, when we feel mentally off balance, we need mm-hmm. help, and we need help yes. to help process some of these things that we got going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the elephant in the room, right? Mental health is the elephant in the room. And this is your organization called The Elephant in the Room. Tell me a little bit about why, you know, you started this and your background with it.
Sure. So The Elephant in the Room, Inc., it's a nonprofit, and we pretty much promote, we advocate, and we try to educate on mental health. Our goal is to mainly erase the stigma associated with mental health, because, of course, the more that people talk about it and the more that we normalize it, the same way that we talk about our jeweler, our barber, our hairstylist, our tailor, we need to be able to share content or context information for our therapists. There shouldn't be anything wrong with referring one of your friends to a really good therapist that you talk about. And so that's where we come in. We want to come in and try to bridge the gap between the people that actually need help and those that receive the help. So if there's someone who's really apprehensive about therapy, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to start promoting therapy. We're going to start promoting healthier conversations around mental health so that people get more and more comfortable with talking about it, because then the first step to talking about it, you're eventually going to try to go get help. So it's crazy that you ask that, because a lot of people wonder, they're like, so are you a psychology major? Are you a therapist? And no, I'm not. I'm not a licensed therapist or anything. Mm-hmm. However, my organization, it was started based on like personal experiences. When I was 17, I struggled with anxiety extremely bad, and that lasted for about maybe 6 or 7 years. I know it's all through college, and I know what it feels like. I'm on the other end. So the people that I'm advocating for, I understand them. And so having the personal experiences with anxiety, a little bit of depression and stress, I just feel like I don't want anyone to be in that dark place.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like, and it's near and dear to my heart. And so I want to do what we can to try to help anyone else out.
That's good. And I love, first of all, the name of the organization, The Elephant in the Room, mm-hmm. because, you know, it is the elephant in the room. It's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. So many times, you know, growing up, you would hear, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like now you develop this attitude, oh, I better not tell anybody what's going on. And mm-hmm. the same thing is true when you have internal struggles, when you got internal issues that you're faced with, that you're wrestling with. And they don't have to be major. It could be a situation mm-hmm. where, you know, you're not happy with your GPA. It could be a situation right. where, you know, you just broke up with somebody, and it's like you don't really know how to process all of the thoughts. So if you keep them contained on the inside of you, eventually you're going to self-destruct. You know, a lot of times I tell people with grief, you can't deal with this alone. You've got to get this out. You can't keep it in. You can't run from it. You can't avoid it. Because either you're going to implode or you're going to explode. You're going to implode. You know, it's going to all break down on the inside. Or one day, randomly, you're just going to explode on somebody. And that's
Absolutely.
What you don't want. So,
yeah.
you know, when we were talking offline, you talked about how as you were growing up, you realized that you were dealing with anxiety and how things begin to happen on the inside of you to really mm-hmm. make you know, oh, wait, something's going on here. Tell us a little bit about that.
So just like anyone else that's dealing with anxiety, back in the day, I never told anybody about it. I didn't talk to my parents. I didn't talk to any peers, because I, too, was afraid of the stigma associated with it. And I didn't want any of my friends to think I was crazy or something.
Right.
because that's just something that we didn't talk about, especially in the Black community, especially as we grew up. Everything stays in the house, like you said. So I'm just like, okay, well, let me just keep this to myself. Maybe I'll feel better. But it really ate at me. It ate at me for so long. I wouldn't wish that feeling on anybody. It's just it was from panic attacks. And if you've never had a panic attack, then you probably would never understand someone telling you, listen, I had an anxiety attack and I had a panic attack. Two totally different things.
Yeah.
Your heart's beating, you're sweating, you don't know what's wrong. You don't know how long it's going to last. But then once it's over, you're just kind of like, I don't know what a heart attack feels like, but it seems like it could be along the lines of a mini heart attack.
Yeah.
So I dealt with that for quite some time. And I used to stay busy in college. I used to always find clubs to attend, like book clubs, any activities on campus, I'm there. Mm-hmm. Any events, I'm there. Scheduling time with my friends, having company over, never spending time by myself, only because I didn't want to like sit and think about like my own mental health. I didn't want to think about like the real issue and the root of the problem. So I did that for a long time. And then it was when Facebook was coming out and I saw a lot of my friends on Facebook and I realized some of their statuses were really personal. And so when they started sharing these personal statuses, I knew that those were cries for help. Mm-hmm. While everyone else was kind of laughing about it and talking about it, I'm just looking at it like, no, I've been there before. I know exactly what they're feeling and they're struggling.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, from that point forward, I really just wanted to do my part. I started seeing kids in middle school committing suicide. I didn't have access to that type of information back then. So I never Googled how to kill myself or suicide or anything like that. And it just broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that, you know, to your point, a lot of people post things on Facebook and on Instagram. And a lot of people laugh at it and they say, oh, that's just them being them. But it's actually not them being them. They are crying out for help. And it's really subtly them trying to get attention, but they don't know how to put into words, I need help.
Yep. You know?
And then sometimes we're afraid to flat out say, I need help. Because, you know, we try to keep up this facade or this image to make people think that we're stronger than what we are.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. I mean, I tell people all the time, there are two types of people on social media. You got people on there who completely have a mask on. Mm-hmm. And this is from like some of your favorite rappers, like some rappers that you probably would never even like imagine. They have all the jewelry, all the clothes. And then you speak to them in real life and they're like, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't even like any of those things, but I have to keep up with this persona.
Yeah.
And that in itself will have your mind going like 100 miles per hour because you're not having the opportunity to be your real self.
Right. That's so true. So speaking of that, let's talk about Kanye West, right? you know, Kanye West has just over the last few weeks declared his candidacy for president of the United States. And my opinion, you know, honestly doesn't matter regarding that. But I will say that it is interesting to watch all of this unfold. If you watched his life over the last several years, you realize that he's gone through some very traumatic situations. He was in a car accident where his mouth was subsequently wired shut.
Mm-hmm.
His mother passed away. And he was at the height of his career. He was at the pinnacle of his career. One of his most famous albums, projects, The College Dropout. I mean, that was a good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
I might listen to that after.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like really good. But then you notice every other project, it was somewhat hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I believe is that all of these things that have happened to Kanye, every event in his life affected him in a very profound way. You know, when Kanye was out on the campaign trail at his rally in South Carolina, he made a very interesting statement. Here it is.
Well, Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people.
Wow. Statements like that, that confirm the fact that he's dealing with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to your point of how people have to put this facade up or how people are trying to, you know, because they're famous, they feel I got to keep going, 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 going. You know, when he was in this traumatic car accident, he should have stopped and got some assistance mentally because literally he could have died.
Mm-hmm.
That has an effect on your psyche. That has an effect on your mental health. When his mother passed away, you know, I really believe that people should stop. And even if they don't, you know, take a long time to grieve, take some time, intentional time, and talk to somebody. You know, you got to get this stuff out. And I believe that for him, his music became therapeutic. But because he really didn't talk it out and really get it out, now it's starting to come out in ways that are counterproductive. It's coming out in ways that is like not him. This is not the Kanye that I love with the College Dropout.
Right, right. You know? He's a totally different person.
Yeah, I don't know who this Kanye is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you think about Kanye? And if Kanye came to you and said, Keisha, your program is something that I need, or based upon what you've gone through, what would you tell me?
So with Kanye, it's a little bit different. My perspective is very similar to yours. There have been several different events that have happened in Kanye's life where he hasn't had the time to properly heal from. Mm-hmm. One, PTSD. He's seen a lot. It's been in that accident, the crowd that he's around. And I also feel like he's going and having an identity crisis. Then there's also the grief of his mother. And I feel like that just, it heightened everything. And I feel like once his mother passed away, he really didn't know who to turn to, who to trust. And that was really difficult for him. And I don't think that since he was at the, you know, pinnacle of his career, he had to continue on and keep going and keep going. And I don't know if he really had the chance to properly grieve the loss of his mom.
Yeah.
They were very close. And I believe the way she passed away, it was a surgery, but it was just so, it was routine. It was something that she wasn't sick. She wasn't, you know, nothing, no pre-existing conditions. And it was very unexpected. And so that sudden unexpected change, he didn't know how to handle it. And he should have really, really gotten some help right after that. And so now I really do think that what we're seeing and what we're all witnessing is that these are cries out for help. Like, these are the cries out for help. And yes, he has admitted that he's bipolar, and his wife, Kim, and which I definitely want to speak on that, because a lot of people are forgetting, although there are a lot of negative comments towards Kim. When I view things, I look at it from a mental health standpoint, and I know that me personally, I don't know if I have the mental capacity to support Kanye right now. I would definitely need some assistance. Right. And so I know that Kim is probably doing the best that she can to support him. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's going to take a village to make sure that his mental is intact, because he's really, really suffering.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's a downward spiral. And it breaks my heart to watch it. Cause like you said, College Dropout, dope album, super dope.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what we're seeing now is he's a creative person already. And so dealing with mental health and not necessarily wanting to get the help, I think it's messing with his creativity.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, he is such an asset to the music industry. You know, like you mentioned, his creativity is phenomenal. You know, he has helped so many people on various projects. But where he is now, he's not an asset to anybody. He's a liability to everybody, as well as to himself. And it's something that I hope he gets the help that he needs. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is you've got to be careful who's around you. When you're dealing with situations and circumstances, you got to be careful, because you need people around you that's going to tell you the truth. Unfortunately, because people around him are on his payroll, you know, people are reluctant to tell him, hey, you need to pull over and get some help, you know, because that they may feel like their pockets are going to dry up. But it's something that when you're dealing with situations like this, you need somebody that's going to flat out tell you the truth.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. I always say that the biggest thing, and something that will help you go so much further when dealing with mental health, find one person, just one person that you can trust. That's it.
Yeah.
If you find one person that you can trust, then, you know, you'll be able to talk about it. And it may not even be a therapist at this time. You can talk about it with this one particular person. They'll be honest with you. And even like people that aren't necessarily at Kanye's status, I have this same conversation with them. I'm like, listen, if you have everybody around you that look up to you, or, you know, you're this person that can connect you with this person, this person, this person, if someone needs you, they're not going to be as valuable to you, because they're not going to be able to be honest, because they don't want to end a relationship that they ultimately need for themselves, versus putting everything on the line saying that, you know, I care about you more than this friendship. I care about you more than this business relationship. I care about you more than anything. So I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that you need help, and I'm going to help you through this, and I'll take you to wherever we need to go. But many people are like, well, my livelihood is more important. I need to be on the payroll so he can spiral on away.
Yeah. Not realizing, though, that if he keeps spiraling, they for real ain't going to be on their payroll.
You're not going to be on payroll. No. He's going to be out of a job. And I mean, people these days, when you get to a dark place, money, family, children, anyone around you, they can't see it.
Yeah.
They're blind. And so none of that's going to matter to them anymore. And so if the people that are in your circle can't, you know, tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, I'm here for you. I want to support you. This is outside of any type of financial gain or anything. You have to have people around you that are willing to risk it all. Those are people who are really loyal, genuine, and actually care.
Yeah. Yeah. People that are afraid to tell you the truth are not your friends.
No.
You know, you need somebody that's going to tell you just like it is. And, you know, it may be uncomfortable, but somebody has to say something. And, you know, the fact is, Keisha, Kanye is not the only celebrity in the news dealing with challenges associated with mental health. Let's talk about Tamar Braxton. You know, she's one that, honestly, when I heard the last few weeks of her suicide attempt, that broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because her family is a Christian family. They believe in God. They are vocal about their relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that honestly goes to show that it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much fame you have. Mm-hmm. Nobody is exempt from the pressures of life.
Yep.
You know, nobody's exempt from dealing with mental illness.
Right. And I mean, when I got the news about Tamar, I wasn't surprised. Wasn't surprised only because I had been following Tamar's story for quite some time. And she's been very vocal about her struggle with depression, anxiety, and how it has affected her during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want to say in March sometime when it first started to shut down, maybe a month later, she was vocal and talked about how it's just been driving her insane. She didn't really know what to turn to. She had a panic attack. She was having trouble dealing with the pandemic and the way that her anxiety is set up. It's not good for her. And she said she's going to try to hang in there to try to support other people. And so initially when I read that, I knew that she was struggling. And then of course, I think Tamar, I can tell she comes from a great family, and I just think she wants to feel appreciated. And I think by seeing the network respond to her suicide attempt, I just think that it was some sort of trigger for Tamar. And she's been in the spotlight for so long. Her marriage has been in the spotlight for so long.
Yeah.
Then her child, and she talked about postpartum and not having that connection with her child for a long time. So she's been struggling for quite some time. And I think that it was just a buildup. And it's unfortunate that she didn't have someone, or she wasn't in the space to really be supported, but I am so happy that she's okay now and is in a better space. She released a statement yesterday, as a matter of fact, saying that, you know, she thanks everybody for their prayers and she's doing way better now. And like you said, doesn't matter all the money in the world, all the fame, fortune, it's, you know, when your mental health is not intact, it'll take over.
That's so true. And you know, Keisha, I am so thankful that God spared her life. I'm thankful because, you know, as she gets through this, she can now tell somebody the importance of taking care of yourself and not ignoring those signs that potentially she ignored. And just the overall importance of putting yourself first. You know, it's not something that you may master all at once or perfect right away. It's something that you got to do day by day.
Baby steps. I tell people baby steps, one day at a time.
Yeah.
We may not be able to count on Tamar to just fully advocate and just be this mental health pioneer. However, as long as we have Tamar for one additional day, we know that she's fighting that fight.
Yeah.
And so I think that does give hope. I think that gives courage to other people that are struggling just as she has. And I'm thankful that God did spare her life as well, because we need her here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked about Kanye and how we visibly see him spiraling out of control. We talked about Tamar and how, you know, her suicide attempt. And let's, I want to bring up Robin Williams. You know, Robin Williams was Miss Doubtfire. You know, he's a comedian.
Love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and he's actually one of the first people that I believe perfected the art of being in a dress as a man. You know, with the makeup and all of that. But I do believe that we see three different people, all three in the spotlight. Robin Williams, you know, killed himself because he, you know, he hung himself, killed himself. It goes to show how a lot of times all of us as humans, no matter what your pedigree is, you know, whether you're an actor, an actress, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, if you're the janitor or the CEO, whoever you are, a lot of times we work hard to make other people happy.
Yes.
While we are silently suffering. And we're trying to make everybody else happy. We could be the life of the party for everybody else. Everybody's like, oh man, I love when they come around. But they don't realize when you get back in the car, you feel some kind of way.
Oh, terrible. When you bring up Robin Williams, I remember when I read the news, I was devastated. That was the first time that I actually realized, listen, it doesn't matter about the money. It doesn't matter about your profession. It doesn't matter about anything, because here we are watching this man when we're having bad days and when we're going through our own mental health struggles and we just want to laugh. Like, we just want to laugh and watch a good movie. We have Robin Williams. His job for a living was a comedian. He was to make other people happy and make other people laugh.
Yeah.
However, the irony is that he wasn't happy himself. Like, he did everything. He gave himself to us so that we would be pleased and we would be happy. And he just kind of, it was kind of like a, not a sacrifice, but it was kind of like, well, you know, I've given myself so much to everyone else that I didn't save enough for myself. I just think that, like you said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, these artists, they're devoted to us. We're all, we're never considering their personal lives. We're like, well, when does the album come out? When can we do this? How come we can't buy this? What's taking them so long? And it's like, we forget that they're human. And I think if people remember the human aspect of everyone and be a little kinder, then we may be able to save some lives.
That's good. You know, one of the things that I think is incredibly important is that just what you said, bringing humanity to these people, you know, remembering that these are people just like you and I. They hurt, they cry, they bleed, they laugh, whatever. And a lot of times people feel that they're such on a pedestal that if they openly acknowledge I'm hurting, that it's going to affect them. In their pocket is going to affect them based upon their likes on Instagram or their viewership, whatever. And one of the things that Dave Chappelle did a few years ago is he took like, hey, I'm quitting comedy for a little while. I'm going to take a break. I'm just going to chill. And I believe that he did that partly because he realized he needed some him time.
That's exactly it.
And I mean,
many people don't, I mean, they don't have the courage to do that. Sometimes you're thinking about the money. Sometimes you're thinking about the people that you have to support. And you sacrifice your happiness and your energy for a paycheck. And sometimes when you're just willing to let it go and trust God in the process, it'll all come back just the same as Dave Chappelle did. I think that was an incredibly brave decision that he did that really saved his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
He actually went to go see Kanye. I saw that, I think on Kanye's page or something, he went and checked on Kanye. Cause I think, like you said, when people, like, they've been there before and people you can talk to and trust, he's like, listen, I recognize this behavior all too well. I've been there.
You know, everybody in life needs that one friend, you know, somebody, you know, even if it's not a kicking it friend, even if it's not somebody that you hang out with all the time, somebody that can reach you to the core of you. To say, look, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm not here for your money. I'm not here for affection. I'm here to make sure that you're good.
And
a lot of us, you know, if we really admit it and we look through our friends, our friend group, we may have one person like that in all these friends that we quote unquote have. You know, and there's some people that don't even have that.
No. And you're lucky if you have that one friend, or if you have a family member, or just someone. You have to have someone.
You're right. You got to have somebody, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can download to, somebody that you can have the necessary conversations with. Well, that's all the time we have for episode one. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now join me next week for episode two as we continue the conversation with Keisha Dennis on mental health matters.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.